All right, we're going to call this How Faith Works. I know we've dealt with this before, but that's what we're going to call it, How Faith Works. It says here, starting verse 17, and when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running to him. He kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Why calleth me good? There is none good but one, that's God. For you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And then Jesus, beholding him, he loved him. He said unto him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Where am I reading? I'm not reading into it. Hold on, just a minute. Let's start that again. This is called How Faith Works. All right? Y'all were just flowing with me, right? I don't blame you. Praise God. Just flow. It's all good. All right. Let me try this again. All right. I'll start here at verse 12. And on Mark 11, verse 12. Okay. Are we okay, brethren? Yeah, okay. And sisterin? Okay. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of that in this little block between the 15th and the 18th, because that's, we'll treat it as a parenthetical piece here where we're just allowing, I'm not gonna read it because it's not completely relevant to what I wanna teach tonight. Let's start at verse 19. "And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." All right. Glory to God. Okay, we're going to call this How Faith Works. Now, I know we've done that before, so if we've done it before, we'll call it How Faith Works, Volume 2. Okay? Amen. Okay, how do we do this? Here's Jesus, and he's on a mission here, and he's going to Jerusalem from Bethany, about 2 miles, I heard. And so here he is passing by a tree, and he was hungry. It must have been in the morning, so he's going to get some fruit. Fruit's good for you. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything around. But when he came, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, this makes it look like there was not the season yet for figs, but it was. Jesus had grown up in that part of the country, and he knew when figs had been on that tree, but there were none, no fruit. And so Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever," and his disciples heard it. Now, I think this fruit tree kind of represented religion, because religion is a form of godliness, but it has no power, no life to it. And so he spoke to this tree, and the disciples heard it. Verse 19, "And when evening was come, he went out of the city." So you can see him now going back out to Bethany. That's where Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus stayed. And verse 20, And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, what did he do between going out of the city and in the morning? This is not a trick question. What did he do going between going out of the city that evening and coming back that morning? He slept. Very good. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you. He slept. But something was happening while he was sleeping. That's my point to you. Because that's key to understand what's happening between the time he went home or back to Bethany and the time he came back. He slept. But while he slept, something was happening. It's my point to you now. While he slept, something was happening. All right, verse 20. And in the morning, as he passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, he said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Now, I think all of them saw the tree. But Peter called to remembrance. All of them saw the tree, but Peter remembered something. Wait a minute. This tree was not in this condition yesterday. Now, I'm saying that because when things happen spiritually, you will notice that it happens so subtly. Until it happens and you say, man, I did pray about that, didn't I? You know? So it's almost like you need Holy Ghost help to remember some of these things of what you said or whatever have you. Look what it says next. And Peter called into remembrance, he said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Or another translation says, have the God kind of faith. Now, both of those translations work real good. Well, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. All right. Obviously, he's talking about faith here. And Brother Hagin taught on this for almost 50 years. And we still need teaching on this right here. Because this is the granddaddy right here. All right, let's look at this whole idea of this teaching tonight. How faith works. You and I have been born from another realm. We have been born from a fourth dimension. And out of that fourth dimension, we've been born out of God. So we've been born out of a realm, a spiritual realm. When I say born, I mean born again. Say born again. I'm not talking about the first birth. I'm talking about the second birth. We have been born again and born out of another realm. Now, I want to prove that because I can prove it by taking you, if you will, just put it up on the board because I'm going to leave them here at this place. John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, it says in verse 3, this man Nicodemus asked him, how can a man, you know, do these miracles? Nick came to him Nick at night? Okay. All right. But anyway, verse 3, I hope you get that. Praise the Lord. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Going down, Nicodemus said to him, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, I understand it's the first time Nicodemus has ever heard anything about born again. Verse 5, and Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what? Water and of spirit, he cannot what? Enter the kingdom of God. Water and spirit could be coming out of placenta, which is water, which is a natural birth, and spirit coming out of the Holy Ghost. And look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be what? Born again. Now, in my Senate column reference, it references what the Greek translation says in the original. It says you must be born from above. So you have been born from above. This natural birth, you've had that. But then you come and get a spiritual birth, and you've been born from above. So right there, you are having something in you, about you, that is different from the world that is around you. All right? So now you are capable of living on a higher plane. You don't have to live here. Now, I'm not going to go to all these scriptures, but you don't have to live here like the rest of the world lives. You can be in this world, but certainly not of this world. And one of the things that helps you to separate from this world is called revelation knowledge. Anybody who doesn't have revelation knowledge is forced to flow with the world. Enough pressure on them, they have to flow with the world because that's all the knowledge they have. Once revelation comes, you see something out that the world cannot see. And when you see something the world cannot see, you can go somewhere the world cannot go. Are you following what I'm saying? So revelation is very important. And this faith is a thing that we access this knowledge. We read this Bible, and as we read this Bible, we read it by faith. You have to set yourself up. When you start to read this Bible, you got to say, wait a minute, I'm not depending on the world. Jesus is my Lord. And submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus and then start reading. Okay? Now, remember what he said. He said, cursed is a man that trusteth in man and make his flesh his arm. You remember he said that in Jeremiah 17? Well, what is he saying is this. The more you depend on the world, the less light you receive from the kingdom. Because God won't share it. I mean, that's just the way it works. So you got to set yourself apart and say, okay, I'm reading this thing, but I'm not reading this thing just to read something for some history book. I'm reading this because I'm going to do this. All right? Now, faith is starting to be brought into this picture. Now, so faith now starts to bring something from the world beyond into this world. All of this is already in heaven. And faith begins to access that and bring it here. All of this wisdom is already in heaven. The Bible says the word is forever settled in heaven. And it's settled in a wisdom form. And you can access that wisdom. All right, let me show you somebody that did that. All right, can I just take my time here and go through this? All right, let's go to all right, I'm going to take it to this, but I'm not going to stay here. Hold something right there where we were. Where were we, by the way? Mark chapter, okay. And go to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. All right, this is Bible study, right? All right. Verse 24. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into the house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children first be fed. All right, now we can confirm that answer from Romans chapter 1. And verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So notice what he said. Let the children, who? The Jews. Let them first be filled. God first took the gospel to the Jews. Okay? And let them first be filled. For it is not meet or not right or proper, not in order, to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. To the dogs. Now, somebody's being called a dog here somewhere. Do you agree to that? But you'll notice anyone in faith will never get offended. Anyone in faith will never get offended. Because faith sees something that people who are casting offense cannot see. Anyone, it makes no difference. If you've gotten offended, it's because you're not in faith. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says, as soon as the word is sown, that persecution and affliction come for the word's sake. It comes to offend you. And it says, those people who receive that offense, immediately they're offended. And then they lose the word. So if you come in here tonight and get the word, then Satan might come after you tonight or tomorrow to try to get you offended. But if you stay in faith, you'll never get offended. Amen. All right, look what it says here. So he couldn't offend this woman. And I'm going to show you another place, too, where one of the attributes of faith is it's persistent. And this particular person here is right now being going to be persistent because they are after something. And somebody said bulldog faith. Yeah, no, I don't mean you say that. I mean somebody said it. Verse 28. And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the crumbs, the children's crumbs." And he said unto her, "For this saying," now this is very important, "go thy way, the devil is gone out of your daughter." Now, where did she get that saying? Where did she get that saying? Anybody want to take a guess? All right, where? Her faith got it. Now, where did her faith get it from? It got it from the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is available, but faith has to access it. And once you get the wisdom of God, no man can gainsay or resist it. That's what she got. Now, when was the wisdom of God stored? When was that answer prepared for her? Before the foundation of the world. So her faith overrode time. It went back to the foundation and got wisdom. Watch this. And then move what he was to do for the Jews, for the Greeks, back up to where the Jews were. So faith overrides all time. And that's why faith has no time. And anytime you're dealing with faith, you cannot talk time. You always have to come in the present. Yes, faith is. Yes, say amen to that. Amen. So as this woman is dealing here with Jesus, Jesus said, "Hey, wait a minute. That's it. Praise God. Go thy way. The devil is gone out of your daughter." So she broke down the order that normally, naturally would have taken place in this natural world by taking her faith and going to a higher level and going to access what was available to her in the future and bringing it into the now. Amen. Now think about it. Something might be for you in the future. Your paycheck is in the future. Bring it into the now. Come on, your pension is in the future. Bring it into the now. All right, now, am I talking to faith people out here? This is faith talk that I'm talking. All right, let's go back. That's the pretty much the meat of that. Where was I before? Was it Mark chapter 11? Okay, I was there. Okay, now, so Let's go to, put something right there, please. I'm going to come back. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, please, which is the place where we normally teach faith from, the particular chapter, because there you have the hall of faith, all the people named and so forth. Let's look at the first verse again. Now, faith is the what? Substance of things what? Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Now, let me read that again out of the Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance or confirmation of title deed, all right, of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. All right. Faith is the assurance. All right. Let's just deal with that for just a minute. Now, when you're talking about assurance, you're saying basically that faith, you, let me just get my notes of what I said about assurance. I know I underlined it. I know I did. Just a moment. Faith is the assurance. My goodness, what did I do with that? Maybe I put it over here. No, I put it here. Praise God. All right, here's what I want to say. When you're talking about assurance, you're talking about something that you can't, in your natural mind, explain, but it's something that you feel inside. That's why I was trying to describe it. Assurance, confirmation, title is trying to describe it. But it's something that you can't explain, yet you know it. You got what I'm saying? So when you're dealing with faith, this is what we're saying faith is. It's an inward conviction of something that you feel called assurance that is really a child of your spirit. Are you with me? So faith is a product of your spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, please. Folks, you can't hear enough about faith. You better believe me when I say this, because you're going to come up on a time here that's coming that you better have some faith. Now, look what it says here in verse 10. I'm just going to read that. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you believe with your heart. What is your heart? Your spirit. You do not believe the word to get faith with your intellect. No faith will come from that. That's why many times I have to watch how I preach to you, because I want to make sure I don't bring it too far down to your intellect. Because once the intellect grabs it, it almost doesn't go to your spirit anymore for faith to be built. So your spirit can believe what your head cannot. And your intellect is a result of your reasoning. You've heard something, you've learned it, or something, and it comes out of there. But for you to get faith, you're going to have to rise up above this sense knowledge world and receive something, glory to God, that may not makes sense to your natural mind. but you're going to walk by the Spirit. So once we hear the word, our spirits become filled with assurance. All right, let me show you the process of this now. All this, you know, the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 1, talks about the things that are seen are really giving you understanding of things that are not seen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, please. Matthew's Gospel chapter 4. How we doing? We doing okay? All right. I want you to get this bulldog faith. I'd like you to get faith that you can move mountains. And we can do that, folks. The church had gotten so far away from the things of God, man. I'm telling you, that's the truth, man. The scripture said, anyone among you sick. It didn't mean everybody raise a hand up. It meant, hey, there's nobody out there. Are you following what I'm saying? This the blessing is so powerful. Look what it says here, verse 1. And Jesus was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said to him, if you be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All right. Now, I'm drawing pictures up here now. So what is he saying? He is saying, okay, there's natural bread, but we're not going to live by bread alone. But we're going to live also by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's going to be bread. Now, that bread is going to be eaten by your spirit. So remember what I told you about Luke chapter 16. And this is with the rich man and Lazarus. Y'all remember that? And both of them died. Do you remember that? So Lazarus was the one who was outside the gate and he was poor and with sores and everything, begging. And the rich man was there and both of them died. The rich man then went to hell. And Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom. That's the upper region of Sheol. And that's the holding place for all the people who believed until Jesus would come and lead captivity captive. Got it? But the other man went to hell. But the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he cried saying, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I understand he was in hell. But notice his body was 6 feet under, but he was in hell. And in hell, he had a finger. In hell, he had feelings. In hell, he had emotions. In hell, he could cry. In hell, he could do without a body. And I'm telling you, the only reason you can do that with a body is because your spirit can do it. Amen. And your body is only the outward expression of a spirit. This jacket was fit. I mean, suppose this jacket was made with, and I'm not demeaning anything now, but suppose this jacket was made with just one arm. Why? Because let's say a person came into there. I mean, if it had two arms in it, it's because it was made for two arms. Lord have mercy. Do y'all follow what I'm saying? I'm saying the only reason this thing fits like this is because my body is like this. The only reason your body fits like it does, now I'm not talking about the size of that thing. I'm saying the only reason it fits like it does is because, you know, you'll follow what I'm saying. I'm saying it has two arms, it has a head, it has a mouth. I'm saying the only reason, because that's the way your spirit is. It's just your earth suit. Are you following what I'm saying here? When I'm in space, I need a space suit, don't I? It's got to cover all the parts of me. Now, your spirit has these parts. And if you look at the way your body functions, your spirit functions the same way. Now, your body, what do I do? Let's say he had fasted. Now he hungered. Why? Because the hunger had returned. Because he was done with his fast according to the Spirit. And now he was got to eat. But the enemy tempted him to turn, to be desperate about it and turn a stone into bread and eat that. Got it? So Jesus said, wait a minute, a man should not live by bread alone. So you got to understand, I can eat natural food. So as I eat natural food, my body takes it and processes it. Am I right about it? And as I start eating now from a fast, I regain my strength. Why? So I can do things. I fasted. I was fasting for about, I don't know, 6-7 days. And then I went out, made a mistake, and went out there to tennis and tried to play tennis. Well, I'm telling you, I had to sit down because the strength wasn't in me. It just wasn't there. I tried to make my body, it just wasn't there. So if I don't eat, I don't have the strength. Are you following what I'm saying? I don't have the strength. Now, what happened is, if that be the case, suppose I go back and eat. Now, all of a sudden, energy is produced. Am I right about it? Now, I'm strong again. Y'all see this? No, do you see it? Okay. All right. No comments, please. Just keep all comments reserved. Keep them to yourself. But wait a minute. So my spirit needs to be fed every day. Why? Because it's going to process the word and produce faith. Faith is spiritual strength. It will move a mountain. So we're going to go on a word diet in 2011, and each day you're going to read the Word of God. Now, your mind may not like it, but your spirit loves it because it loves the word. It clings to that word. It's joyous with that word. Are you following what I'm saying? Does this make sense to you? All right. Now I'm drawing pictures here today because I want you to really understand that. Same thing with miracles. Miracles are nothing but overriding time. It's the same process. But it just overrode time. It condenses time and brings time into almost nothing. And next thing you know, you got a miracle. The process was still there. Okay, let me just finish this. All right. So now, spiritual things. All right, let's cover that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. When you're trying to get something from God and you don't seem to be able to break through, sometimes you do a 1 or 2 or 3 day fast. Boy, you just about break through every time. You get something. And what you do with that is believe you receive the answer before the fast. You got what I'm saying? When you're going into it, receive the answer then. By faith now, by faith. Okay? And that. Okay, so now, where am I? What is 2 Corinthians? Okay. All right, look what it says here in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So these are two men they're talking about here now. What men are they talking about? Which ones? The outward, come on. And then what is the outward man? The flesh. All right. What is the inward man? The spirit. All right. Verse 16, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Watch this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So what's not seen? Come on. Oh, wait, spiritual things. I understand that. But what is he referring to when you look at something that's not seen yet? Faith. We turn to faith, right? I'm shaking it out of here. Let's try it one more time. So I'm looking at something that's not seen yet. What's not seen yet? The Word. See, the Word. My circumstances are seen. And the circumstances tell me I'm in financial trouble. But the Word tells me, my God shall supply all my need. So I don't want to look plainly at my circumstances, because they'll fill my senses, my mind will do the reasoning on it, and the next thing you know, I get worried. That's a form of fear. Now I'm attaching myself to the enemy's assault, and I'm losing all my courage. I get depressed because of that, so forth and so on. You see? All because I looked at the circumstances. But I can see with my spiritual eyes, I can see the Word of God. I'm going to go in here and I'm going to just take the Word of God and I'm going to bombard my mind with the Word of God. I'm going to, you. Count to 10. And as you're counting to 10, stop, try to say your name. Okay, I won't have you do that. But my point to you is you can't do it. See, when you're reading this word, you can't think about anything. This is what you're going to think about right here. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm going to not look at the things that are seen. Now, if I look at the things that are seen, my affliction is not going to be light anymore. Affliction means something coming against you, whatever. It's not going to be light anymore, and it's not going to be momentary. If I look at what's seen, it's going to stay there. Yeah. And the enemy has been trying to control the saints with circumstances. Got it? But I got to look at the Word of God. Even in the midst of my circumstances, I got to say what God said. I got to start thinking what God said. Come on now. Even though, and thoughts are things, folks, thoughts are very powerful. That's why the enemy invades your mind. That's the battlefield. He wants your mind, because the Bible says when I have a wrong thought, Proverbs 30, put my hand over my mouth. Why? Because that wrong thought is going to eventually, if it gets in there and gets grounded in there, it's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to say what you think. And so what I got to do is think on what things? These things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things, so forth and so on. So I got to manage my mind. I got to say, no, because that's the doorway to my spirit. And so I got to manage that. I got to say, no, by his stripes, I'm healed. Devil, I am healed. So far, you know what I mean? So you got to come back and you got to hit it again and hit it again. Why? Because the devil is persistent. He'll come and try to drive certain thoughts into your thinking. And you got to reject those thoughts. Are you following what I'm saying? So the Bible talks about in the warfare, 2 Corinthians, I think, chapter 10, he says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war with the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, keep going, for the pulling down of what? Strongholds. He's not talking about get up on Sears Tower and pull something down. He's talking about in your mind. There's a stronghold in there. A stronghold is a system of thinking that is contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God can pull down a brick wall in your mind and pull that thing down so you can think like God. And it's all because of your thinking, folks. That's why thinking is so very important. Are you with me now? All right. So we're still talking about this tree that Jesus spoke to, see? Let's go now to, glory to God. Let's go. I'm almost done. Woo, 30 seconds. Just can y'all hold on for, give me 2-3 minutes here. Faith does for you what cannot naturally be done.
Got it?
Now, understand the world doesn't have this kind of faith, so they can't do this. So don't even understand they can't even come up with a thinking that you can come up with because they don't have this. Now, let me say a couple of things about this. Spiritual things are superior to natural things. Let's go back to Romans chapter 10 one more time. Oh, I'm telling you. Come on, give me 2 minutes now. Don't bug out on me. Give me 2 minutes by faith. Okay, look what it says here in verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right. Now, what did I tell you? Spiritual things are superior to natural things, to physical things. So whatever your problem is, you can take the spiritual and change it. Now, hold it. I know that's easier said than done. That's what we've said. But I don't think it's that hard. I think what happens is you got to be sold out on the fact that it's possible. I think the mind is still bought into the fact that that's not possible because it doesn't see how that can happen. All right, let me give you two scriptures for it. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's shoot those over. Let me know when you get there. All right, look at verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the what kind of things? Foolish things of the world to do what? Confound or shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to do what? Confound the things that are mighty. Watch this. And base things of the world and things which are what? Despised hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are what? Not, keep going, to bring to naught the things that are. Again, what are the things that are not? The Word of God. You got to come back to it. The Word of God is something that is not to bring to naught the things that are. So the Word of God is something that's not seen yet, but it's going to bring to naught what is seen. Naught means zero, goose egg. So it's going to bring to zero, to nothing, whatever you can see. And it doesn't make any difference what you have, because God spoke. Let there be what? Light. Now turn to John chapter 60, chapter 6, please. No, John chapter 60. John chapter 6, please. Folks, I believe I could have you for about 6 days on this right here, and you nail a nail with your faith. Have you got John chapter 6? Look at verse 63. It is the what? Spirit that quickeneth. Keep going. The flesh, keep going, profiteth nothing. Keep going. The words that I speak unto you, keep going. They are what? Spirit, and they are life. Now remember what I said, spiritual things are superior to anything you can see, feel, touch, taste, and smell. So it's superior to it. So Jesus spoke spiritual words. And he said, as I did, you supposed to do. Now where did he get spiritual words from? Right down in his heart. It processed in his heart, and then he could speak it. He's showing you the whole process. Whosoever shall say to this what? Mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he gonna have whatever he says. Say amen to this. Now, you hear this enough, and it will tear down that stronghold in your mind that's trying to maintain a condition in your life. Jesus has given us the key here. Faith, that's why Brother Hagin taught it for 50 years. Because it's the master key to everything. It will pay your rent. It will buy your house. Faith will do this. Faith is a servant. Faith will do it. It will put a smile on your face when everybody's sad. It will bring your marriage together. It will fix anything. Look at Smith Wigglesworth and what his wife did. Here he was. He was just rebelling against God, but his wife was strong, Pentecostal, whatever, and she would go down to the church, and I may not get it all right, but this is the idea, and she'd go down there, and he just got tired of it, and one night he said, "Where are you going tonight?" She said, "I'm going to church, Smith. Listen, you leave this house, and I'm locking the door." "Oh, Smith, you know, whatever." And so she left. Because she was down there praying for him. And they were wrapping their faith together. I know what they were doing. So what happened? She goes, leaves, comes back, tries to get in the house, the door's locked. What does she do? See, faith is not offended. You got to remember that. And what does she do? She then lays on the door all night, bundles up all night, and opened the door the next morning. Smith opened the door to get the milk or something like that, and she fell in. "Oh, Smith, would you like me to cook you some breakfast?" And Smith got saved, watch this, and turned out to be one of the mightiest men of faith that has been in the recent generation. Am I right about it? Smith Wigglesworth. But what did she use to heal her marriage? Her faith. And the people of God today, they go as far as they can go in the natural. Folks, your solution is not in the natural. It's in the supernatural, where you've been born from. And somehow we're stopping at the natural and say, "Well, this stuff don't work." You are not in that zone yet. God is taking you to the zone. And in the zone, you can speak to that marriage. And that thing will have to obey you. Because there's spirits of divorce. There's spirits of separation. There's spirits of abuse. And you can make every one of them get out of your house. Now, I know you don't like to hear this because you want to get offended. You get over that being offended. God has got something for you. He's loaded his glory in you, and his glory shall be manifest. Praise God, I'm preaching tonight. Let me just give you this last piece. Are y'all with me? Telling you, I know what the enemy was trying to do to me to my marriage. I mean, telling me, you know, well, you know, hey, you done married the wrong woman, so forth. And you know, I went to this meeting, the man talk about you can have what you say. And I said, "Well, why am I at this meeting? What am I at?" But I got this little book, and this book, Praying God's Word, Ed Dufresne, and I began to say, look at my wife over there. Thank you, God. My wife is a virtuous woman, always doing me good as long as there's life within her. Bread of violence, gossip, discontent, and self-pity. She does not eat. She gets up early, gets spiritual food for the house. She assigns her maids their task. Her word is working mightily in our marriage. We've been transformed into the image of Jesus by the renewing of our mind. And then my mom would say, "Ain't none of that true. Don't even read that no more." No. My words are spirit and they are life. And they will change anything that you can see, feel, touch, taste, or smell. And how fast you'll feel your situation works depends on how strong your faith is. And if you don't think your faith is strong enough, get a couple of your cousins and who are believers and wrap your arms together and say, "We're going to speak this thing into the atmosphere." We're going to speak this and we're going to close the door on the devil on my baby. We're going to close the door. Now you're talking the right talk. I know what he did to you. I know the things didn't go right. I know them kids acting crazy, but you got an answer for it. I said you got an answer for it. It's called faith, and it will never fail. I said it will never fail. Now the last thing is this woman named Ruth. Turn over there real quick. Boy, it got me preaching here tonight, Doc. See, because somehow we have not yet gotten up into the supernatural, man. We're still down here in the natural talking about something won't work. You're right, it won't work with the devil up against you in the natural. But up in the super, he's no match for you. You can turn around the worst situation in the world. You can turn it around overnight. I don't know why I'm talking about marriage. I told that guy, that lady came to me told him that. I said, do you still want him back? Yeah, because he's with another woman. I said, do you still want him? Yes, I do. I said, okay, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Not only is he going to come back, he's going to come back with some flowers in his hand. She said, okay. See, oh, that's impossible. But I called that thing out. And when he knocked at that door, he didn't have his shoes on, but he had some flowers. I don't know where his shoes were, but he had lost his shoes from somewhere. Okay. I said, faith is a master key. Okay, let's go over to Ruth. Now you look at this. This Ruth, and here's the situation. And let me have a Kleenex down there, please. I'm preaching so hard here. I'm just, Lord. So here's Ruth. Now let's look at this. Let's look. Here's what happened. Ruth, the family of this particular Jewish man, he had two sons. I'm not going to be trying to pronounce these names. But they went to the country of Moab. All right, that's a country they sacrifice and all kinds of stuff in there. It's just a lot of ungodly stuff. So then he died. And the two sons took up women who were Moabitish women. And then they died. So the curse was working in this family. All right, so the mother, her name was Naomi. And so then she began to talk to them, verse 6. And she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. So she's going back home to really be a beggar, be a very poor woman. And as you know, sometimes those women like that whose husbands have died, they become, if they're not taken care of by the congregation, they become pretty bad off. Verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go and return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go you your way. For I am too old to have a husband. And if I should say I have hope, if I should have any husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they are grown? And will you stay for them for having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. So I'm in a bad situation. You don't need to follow me. And they lifted up their voice and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. So the one daughter said, adios. I'm gone. I'm just putting that on my own words. I'm not trying to make light of the scriptures. This is a terrible situation. Verse 6. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back to her people and to her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried, and the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Now, what am I saying? Why did I bring that up? It's kind of interesting here how faith works. And many times I think what we try to do with faith is we try to leave a little room in case it doesn't work. And that's not the way faith works. Faith takes your ultimate commitment. That you got to step into it and be willing to stay with it and be persistent. Now, I'm not saying anybody whose marriage get beat and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there's a certain level of faithfulness that faith takes. That you've got to make up your mind that you're going to do this thing. And for you to stand there and make all these provisions in case they don't work. Well, I'll get a prenup. Well, that ain't nothing but legalized adultery. And so what you need to do, now I'm going to run it down to you. I'm saying that faith takes your whole heart. You got to sell out to this thing and say, hey, I'm in it. Or if you're going to wait on something, wait in faith. Don't be willing to compromise. Say, no, this thing is going to work. I am not going to be trying to look for a way out. I'm going to look for a way in. Are y'all following what I'm saying? So I'm just saying that faith makes no provision for failure. Makes no provision for, now stick with me now and don't get condemned if you've been through some things and it didn't work out as you, so forth. I'm giving you what you can do in the future. Say amen to that. And stay in faith. Don't get in condemnation because condemnation is designed to destroy your faith. But I'm saying for you now that if you're going to make faith work, this is the way it works. It works based on commitment. If you know anything about Ruth, she ended up marrying a man like Bill Winston. Do you follow what I'm saying? No, do you follow what I'm saying here? Did I make myself clear here? Now, my wife may have some other opinions, but I know the deal. As you remember, Boaz was a very wealthy man. But look what her faith did. But I want you to see something that's in there that maybe you didn't see. Faith works by love. It really does. And you'll find that your faith works easiest when you're working it for somebody else. Because it just works on love. And as you do work your faith, faith will always work for you. And it'll always bring you the victory. Did y'all get something out of that tonight? I just want you to see the number of times the mother tried to get both of them to leave. Next time, you count them. Count how many times she tried to get them to turn around. And I'm saying, when you're headed towards your victory, how many things are going to try to get you to turn around? Don't wait anymore. It won't ever happen to you. All your hope is gone. Just going back. Mm-mm. Other sister went back and didn't get nothing. Probably got another whatever. But notice, Ruth got the best that God has. Faith will bring you the best that God has. Amen? All right. If you're here tonight, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. We want to get you in there, into the kingdom. Now, all this is available for kingdom people. I'm saying that that kind of faith can only be given to you by God, and He gives it to His people. So if you're here tonight, I'm not asking you to join Living Word. I'm asking you to do one thing. Get saved. Get Jesus as Lord.